you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Quick Slants Podcast is brought to you by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most exciting lineup ever. You want to find a car? You need a car? You'll need a nice car, truck, or SUV? Shop ChooseNissan.com.
Today on Quick Slants Podcast, the Patriots run roughshod over the Los Angeles Chargers. We look back on the roadkill and try and identify exactly what the cause of death was for those Los Angeles Chargers. Then we look forward to the American Football Conference Championship game. Patriots, Chiefs, why is it going to look different than those other road AFCCGs?
All that and more on Quick Slants Podcast. Gerard, Gerard, Gerard.
Yeah, man.
That was
a
good start right there, huh?
That was a great start.
What do you think? What in God's name? You foresaw good things for the Patriots on Sunday. Did you foresee that?
I definitely didn't. You know, I kind of feel like an idiot. I was at my son's basketball game, and like four people came up to me. Hey, you know, the Patriots are going to crush the Chargers. Crush them. I was like, well, you know, I was like, hold whoa, it, hold it. I was like, hold on, guys, hold on. The Chargers have a pretty good team. It's going to be a tough game. I think the Patriots will pull it out because it's a home game, and they've done it all year. But it's going to be a tough game. And boom, they come out, score touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. The score at the end of the game, it really doesn't reflect what happened during the game. Like, it was pure domination throughout the entire game.
There's a number of reasons it happened, and I think if I were to rank them.
Run game.
I would put health above it.
Oh, the Patriots are
it's
super
insane.
Healthy. Yeah, but the run game, are you?
No. I say health because that means the run. Because if Gronk's not hobbling around, his back's fine, he can actually pitter-patter his feet before delivering a block and get to the second level, block a second
guy. Oh, he played well.
Oh,
didn't have the numbers, but.
No, but. I thought health first. Have you ever seen a Patriots team this healthy this far into the season?
I have not. And you're playing in the AFC Championship game, and who's hurt? Yeah, healthy scratches all over the place. There's no one hurt.
It's incredible. The 2015 team.
That's a testament. Hey, that's a testament to Jim Whalen, Joe Van Allen. Let me give those guys a shout out. Moses Cabrera in the weight room. Maybe the TB12 method with some of those guys.
Has to help, too.
Has to help a little bit. It takes, you know, it sounds corny. It takes a village, though.
It's nutrition, too, with Ted.
Ted Harper. Takes a village. And it also takes the coaches knowing when to dial it up and when to tone it down. So.
And they were in pads last Wednesday, I know, so they were hitting last week. But you had
A bye week.
You had a bye week.
Coming off
a
bye week.
Not only the health that entered into it, I think they big-brained the Chargers as well.
They came out on the defensive side of the ball and did something that I know the Chargers had no clue what was going on. And they came out and blitzed them.
Did you love to see that?
Loved it.
Now, that was a game that you wanted to be on the field for.
But when you think about it, right, those two quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, had the highest percentage as far as being in the pocket making passes at like 97 and 94% respectively. So it's like, well, let's get this guy off the spot. You hear it all the time. It sounds so corny. Let's get this guy off the spot. And you go in there, you blitz zero. And some of those things, the linebackers had the running backs, but they would stay in. And when they would stay in, they just sent them, like, go. Like, go. And that's a great feeling when you can look to the other linebacker, like, hey, I'm going to hug. It's called hugging. I'm going to hug this running back. If he slips out on a slip screen, you tell your other linebacker, you got to have my back on this, right? If it's one or cover one or something like that. And those guys were hugging fast. Loved to see it. I thought those guys in the back end played well. Gilmore played out of his mind, except for that one play.
Sure.
He had a great game, but we talked about it. You know, they matched up well because those are long cut guys.
That was such a great point, too. And I wanted to ask you that. Okay, so Rivers and Brady are pocket passers. They're both older players, much older players. So why were the Patriots able to have success offensively And there was no pressure, which was a factor because Bosa and Melvin Ingram are better pass rushers, yeah. except for, you know, Flowers. So it's scheme. It comes down to scheme.
It does come down to
scheme.
You
get long cut receivers.
Totally.
Go ahead.
And Julian is one of those, you know, he's opposite of long cut, right? He's one of these quick guys that can really create separation and run these 5-yard routes. When you look at the Chargers roster, they really didn't have a guy like that.
When you look at the attempts, if we looked at next gen stats or something and looked at how far the passes were traveling that the Patriots were trying to throw, they were 5 feet,
yep.
4 feet, 9 feet, 35 feet. Rivers was just, he was in a position where he had to launch the ball because he didn't have an underneath receiver or Eckler able and available to get open underneath.
And they were down so fast that Rivers felt like, hey, if I don't make a play down the field by throwing the ball down the field, it's going to be tough. That's another, you start fast like that. I mean, it puts an opponent on their heels.
We're going to keep jumping back and forth between Patriots offense, Patriots defense, Kansas City and the Chargers game, but they can't play this way against Kansas City. So it was one-shot deal. You can't blitz. You can't play cover zero against those guys.
No, you can't. You can't because they have guys like a Travis Kelce, right, who's a quick – he's like a receiver, but he's able to get open relatively quickly. But you know the thing about what Kansas City, what they're good at, is stretching you horizontally. And we talk about that all the time. They, you know, they run the reverses with Tyreek Hill. You saw that last week.
Yep. They have the constant jet motion.
Yeah, constant jet motion, which makes you instantly a little bit hesitant. Now, you can look at that and say, well – you know, if you run these blitzes, every once in a while you get a huge tackle for a loss. But there's going to be a couple of times in the game where they're going to break that off. So it's going to be tough. I'm looking forward to a great matchup. You look at this Andy Reid coach team. You know they're a scripted team. You know they watched that game. And another thing with San Diego, I said all week, I said if San Diego thinks they're going to come in here with 6 and 7 DBs on the field, and what did they do? I'm like, you come out here with 6 DBs. On the fit, and that was the question I wanted to ask.
Why did they not switch?
No clue. I wish I could answer that.
Then the next question is, and there was a contention made by people in the media, well, they don't have any linebackers, that's why they didn't switch. But I think additionally, too, it's hard to, there are so many we do what we do teams around the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think I've theorized that part of the reason is you get talent, you get players, and then you put them in the system, but they might not necessarily be the same level of football intelligence, IQ, whatever you bring to the table, what Hightower brings to the table, what, you know, Vince brought to the table, Flowers, right. Ninkovich, all around that defense.
Right.
If you surround your defense with guys who can say, you know what, we're actually going to do X, Y, and Z this week, so get in your playbook so yep. we can do it. Is that at all somewhat accurate?
But not in the playoffs. By the playoffs, you want to really have at least the people who are going to play the majority of your snaps, like, in. Like, you don't want to have
so gone shouldn't you be able to get the frig out at cover three and play man? The only answer to playing
totally
the Patriots
agree.
Is play man.
And get pressure with four. And going back to your point about, you know, how they neutralize Bosa and Ingram, and even Meebane. Like, I thought Meebane, honestly, I thought he was going to have a big game.
Yep.
I know he was going through a lot of things and stuff like that, but I thought he was going to have a huge game. Those guys were non-existent. And most of the time, the Patriots do a good job with those guys on the outside, right? But they have a hard time if you have a pass rusher, you know, or pass rusher inside. But he couldn't get, I mean, the offensive line played out of their minds.
They were, and again, I go back to health, but how much of that was schemed by Skarnecchia as well?
Oh, Skar's all-time great. All-time great.
What? God, I hope he gets into the Hall of Fame. Just not even.
Do you think he would get in the Hall of Fame?
It's hard. There is a side door for coaches.
He should definitely get in. I think he definitely has the resume to get in the Hall of Fame.
I'd love to see him in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Now, he might end up as a contributor,
He's the longest tenured coach on the staff. He's been here longer than Bill.
He's been here since the 70s.
And so have you.
60s.
But the thing, can I tell you about Scar, though? The thing about Scar, like Scar
is
will,
it just trigonometry or geometry or why is he so good at it?
No. Forget the X's and O's, right? He's great at X's and O's, whether it's drawing up power schemes, you know, with the pullers and things like that, or even zone schemes. He's great at that stuff. He's great at...
But you have to know where all those pricks are before the ball is snapped and how they're going to react to different influences. How does he know it?
He coaches those guys up well. Okay. Forget all that stuff.
All right, shutting up.
Guys want to run through a brick wall for Scar. Scar is one of those guys. Very few and far between have I had coaches who would say, you know, say Bill would say, you know, cuss out his guys. Or anyone else would cuss out his guys. Scar would turn, you but don't talk to my, like, he would literally be ready to come to fisticuffs over his guy, like, over his guy. To anyone, didn't matter. He would cuss you out. Now, Scar would rip you a new one. Like, he would cuss you out. Like, you would see him cuss out Logan Mankins, cuss him out so bad. But if someone else tried to say something to the offensive line, Tom tried to say something to the offensive line at practice or something like that, Scar wasn't having it. And when you know, as a player and as a unit, as an offensive line unit, you know, when you see stuff like that, I mean, you would run through a brick wall for this guy.
Fascinating how inside a team that you can have factions, but
multiple
then the factions
cultures. Totally.
But then the factions unite on Sunday. So look, I might not be getting along that great with the linebackers right now as a defensive back, but don't mess with them.
Totally. There are people talk about culture all the time, whether it's corporate America or in sports, and everyone's like, oh, it's this one thing, the Patriots culture. But there are so many, many cultures within the main culture, right?
Look at how many things we've talked about. We talked about health. That's a culture. Because you hold each other responsible, right?
For sure. Have to.
In terms of you better be getting, like Brady breaks down every time. He says, make sure you're getting your rest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who says that?
He still texts me, hey, make sure you're getting your rest, buddy. Bro, you want me to live a long time.
Where are you going, Gerard? I got to go to bed. Tom told me to go to bed. So the inability to change out of that cover three. I mean, we knew it was coming. If you're going to put seven defensive backs on the field, you're going to get carved up in the running game. But I also thought because of the way they played against the Ravens, where they seemed to be doing some novel shit, that, well, maybe they'll switch. Maybe they'll do something different.
Well, even in cover three, right, you're still rocking a guy down. When I say rocking a guy down, a safety's coming out. You're pretty much gapped out, right? Everyone's gapped out. So these big safeties, whether it's Derwin James or some of those other guys who are kind of like linebackers, these guys are 220 pounds. So we're not going to sit here and say they couldn't, you know, do some of the things that, you know, smaller linebackers could do. Look at Telvin Smith out in Jacksonville. He's like 225. But these guys just go shoot the gap. But even that, it's like they were just sitting back in these zones. And that is like a recipe for disaster when you're playing a guy like Tom Brady. And the offensive line is playing that well.
I mean, we saw it in the 2014 Super Bowl. We saw it in 2012 when you guys went out to Seattle. Brady
and that's the thing. But the thing about
peppering them.
But Seattle had so much success over those 2 years that everyone's like, all right, the recipe. This is the new recipe. Get four guys that can rush the passer, and we're going to sit in cover three. And it's like, it's just like the Wildcat. It works for a little bit, and then everyone gets on to, like, you have to move. You have to be, you know, you have to be a game plan team. Like, the offense will take New England. I'm not trying to, like, gas up New England. But every week, you would get a mini playbook. Because we're not going to do the exact same thing we put on film last week or the exact same thing we put on film last time we played you. So going into this Kansas City game, you're nuts if you think you're going to see the exact – you might see some sprinkles of things that gave the Chiefs problems, right, on the Chiefs' defensive side of the ball. So Tom and those guys, you may see some sprinkles, but there's going to be some window dressing. Mm-hmm. They're not going to come and line up the exact same way they did when they dropped 40-plus points on you, right? It's going to be something different. You're not going to see the defense. Obviously, the defense needs to change. They gave up 40-plus points.
Right. And I think it might have as well based upon J.C. Jackson being involved, based upon Jason McCourty being, you know, in a better spot, based upon actually, too, and I'm talking about Kansas City now, they understand the power of Mahomes' arm. They got another reintroduction into how fast Tyreek Hill can be because Jason McCourty acknowledged on the touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt, he said when Mahomes bubbled to the right sideline second half, Patriots were up, I think, 24-6 at the time. He said he bubbled out, and I'm borrowing that term because I wouldn't use it otherwise. I would say rolled. But he said he bubbled because when a guy bubbles, he usually can't throw it that far.
Right.
And he threw it right over his damn head.
Oh, totally.
So how much does it help having seen those guys?
Oh, it helps a lot. I mean, no matter what you see on film, it's always different in real life. And that's one of the things that happened to Jason on that. He's like, on film, okay, it looks cool. He's rolling. He's throwing it far. But then you see it in person, it's like, oh, shit, this guy really, it's like speed, right? Like, you never know how fast these guys are until you play them. I remember, so when anytime there was a fast pass rusher, they would let the scout team defensive end, like Dwight Freeney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, line up offsides. They would let them just to try to simulate how it's going to be in the game. And Dwight Freeney would still come out and have three sacks. So you never know. Like Tyreek Hill.
What would you do? What was the fastest guy on the other team that you dealt with in your career? where you had to deal with some weird shit. I mean, hell.
There were some fast guys.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton's fast.
No, but even then, though, right, on the scout team, going back to practice, they would let the receiver line up 1 yard off sides or 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage. So the DB is like he's right on you just to try to simulate that. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy.
So can the Patriots
some
have
of these guys, I'm like, man, how did you get like how does it feel to be that fast? And I was
scared.
A fast guy.
Oh my god. Well, you're a 4.4 guy?
A 4.48. I ran a 4.52 on the laser. But you know, I'm 242. These guys are running like 4.28s. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot. It's like bang bang, but at the same time, like I see Zion Williamson basketball. Like, how does it feel to hit your head on the backboard?
To be up, I mean,
at 290 pounds. I don't want to digress, but I'm just saying, it's like some of these guys, some of these athletes are unbelievable.
Well, imagine how I feel. I mean, the gap between you and them. I mean,
your gap.
Do you know what was funny as shit too?
Would love
again,
to see
digression.
You jump.
There, would you go from playing, you know, slappy, rec hoop against other guys, and then like a legitimate like kid who's you know, played maybe Division III or Division II.
Yeah.
Comes out.
Oh, for sure.
And you're like dribbling down the court. You're trying to throw it over. I remember, I'll never forget, I was playing down the Cape at the Kennedy rink in the summer and just took two dribbles, tried to like, I'll just throw it down court. I was bringing it up. Kid just levitated.
Oh, yeah.
Took it away from me. It was about my size.
And D3.
Came down. I'm like, did you play? What is it? Yeah, I play it like Babson. Like, kid, anyway.
He's like, man, I played in the hood.
I mean, think
the
about the gap. Think about the frigging gap between me and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Crazy.
So how do you neutralize that? Because I wrote something about this yesterday. In 2017 in the opener, you guys got beat because of a Kareem Hunt touchdown, a Tyreek Hill touchdown. Patriots were ahead, I think, 26-21. They got their doors blown off. All big plays. This past one, you guys won the game. But there was a 97-yard kickoff return. There was a 75-yard Tyreek Hill touchdown. There was a 58 Kareem Hunt touchdown.
And trending the wrong way. As that game continued to progress, I mean, it started looking bad.
Right. So is that you guys knowing what they were doing, but them outright beating you, or can it be explained away with, that's a bust?
No, you know, some of those plays were definitely bust, right? Or I guess lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. Like you should always know where Tyreek Hill is. I remember Bill used to always say, like, you know, no matter, we'll just use Randy Moss as an example. Well, Randy always lined up on the outside. But some of these guys, they move around. So always
Antonio
know,
Brown.
Yeah. Always know where. Well, no, Antonio Brown doesn't line up in the slot.
Never.
No, not really. Right. But you know, you get my point. He would say, always know where Tyreek Hill is. I want everyone saying where Tyreek Hill is because, you know, where he's lined up kind of predicates some of his routes, you know, the options that he has on his routes as well. But, you know, to answer your question, how do you stop something like that? I mean, it takes the entire group. Look, all right, first, we know where he is. You're going to double him. They just have so many weapons. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to neutralize an offense like that, I wish I could sit here and say, well, here's a perfect defense. If there was a perfect defense, everyone would be running it, right? If you want to neutralize that offense, the running game, the Patriots running game, you have to control the clock, keep those guys off the field. Because I don't think any defense can really stop the Chiefs for four quarters. I just don't think so. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. And I think the Patriots are going to be in a position, too. It's going to be a fascinating game. What are you drinking?
A little apple cider vinegar, maple syrup, and ginger.
That's pretty good.
The Patriots are going to be in a position where they want to control the ball. They want to continue to possess the ball because this could be a game where possessions are at a premium.
Totally.
There might not be, you know, sometimes I guess each game you probably have 8 or 9 possessions. If the drives are long and it's going to be a cold day,
yeah.
You're on grass, maybe the possessions will
if
be a little longer.
If you want to call that grass, I hate it.
Shitty field.
Oh.
We'll get to that too. But Bill you might have to go for it a little bit on fourth down.
Oh, totally.
On both sides.
For
but
sure.
If the Patriots are going for it on fourth down at, you know, the Chiefs 42, which they would most likely do, you're not going to kick a 60-yard field goal.
Not in that weather.
And you're not going to bother trying to pin them because it takes one play to get to the 40. So keep the ball.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be a real soft
and weather's going to play a lot. Weather's, I mean, who knows what the weather. They're calling for a blizzard?
Cold ass.
Like a blizzard,
I don't
right?
think it's a blizzard. I think it's cold
you sure?
ass. I'm blizzard's not... here. We're getting the blizzard.
Are we getting the blizzard?
Yeah.
Are you going out there?
Yeah.
Man, I might just go to Florida then.
No. So all those things, I think that's going to enter into it, the fourth down, the possessions, the decisions that are going to be made based on, okay, we can't give him the ball back right now. We
Saturday have to, snow, bro.
In Kansas City?
Yep. Snowstorm threat for KC increasing.
Balls.
So you might not even make it in. You might get out there early.
All right, I'll look into it. Furthermore, henceforth and hitherto.
I love that.
The Patriots had so much success stopping the run the other day that it became an afterthought. Plus, the score dictated that. But first play of the game, when Melvin Gordon took a handoff and there were five guys running at him and there was absolutely no gaps. Oh, okay.
Right.
So that's how it's going to look today, when they're going to string it out, fill every gap, and polish off the running back, not just let one guy do it.
But that's also a product of the play calling, though.
But
the blitz zero.
But Danny, oh, good point as well.
You see what I'm saying? So you're in blitz zero. And so it doesn't matter as a linebacker. It really doesn't matter if you hand it off or play. If I have this guy in coverage and I'm hugging, I'm going to hit my gap faster. I'm going to build that fence faster. Because I'm already going to, I'm going to check you. I'm going to cover you anyway. So I might as well haul ass and get to you as fast. And now it's a handoff. Perfect.
Oh, just hit. Just run the guy over on your way.
Yeah. It's like,
run the guy over on the way.
Perfect.
But I noticed that, you know, more Danny Shelton time on the field.
Yep.
Had an impact.
Man, glad to see Danny Shelton.
Can you do that against these guys?
I don't know if this is a Danny Shelton-esque game.
Because the absence of Danny Shelton is what I think led to Miami having the success it did and Pittsburgh having the success it did. And I'm not saying Danny Shelton. I'm saying fatties in the middle of the defense.
But they have, even though Kansas City, they run the ball downhill, that end-around action, you know, that fake the reverse.
Jet foolishness missile
missile motion, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it slows everyone down. So having a guy like Danny Shelton in there, who supposedly has had a hard time, like, really two-gapping, locking out his guy, I don't know if that's the answer. It's more of a Lawrence Guy game, but it's like,
every guy can play. But who comes in is Adam Butler.
Adam Butler, yep.
And, you know, he's a factor in the pass rush, but it's a fascinating matchup. What do you think?
Can't wait.
What do you think, Andy? Talk to me about the turf. You were starting to mention that.
Oh, the grass.
Why does it suck? And it was a big problem in 2014 for you guys, wasn't it?
It was a huge problem. We would never say it in the media and could never say it to Bill, but, I mean, the grass would just come up all the time. It would come up. I remember missing a tackle on the sideline, and I really couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. Like, it was like, you know, having tires with no tread in the ice, right? And I couldn't stop. And I come on the sideline, and Bill's like, this is after I led the league in tackles. You know, I've had multiple times, all this stuff. And Bill's like, Trot, you'll never miss a tackle if you just slow down. And I'm just like, I'm like, all right, coach, thanks. And, you know, he's yelling at me sometimes. You know, the thing, how you get Bill, he'll yell at you. And I used to have that visor. I wouldn't yell back. I would just look at him. I wouldn't even say anything. Just look at him. And he would, after a while, he get tired of yelling at me. It's like jujitsu. It's like jujitsu for the mind, right? It's like, you know, just take it. And then, all right, coach.
I need to get a visor.
Yeah, get a visor.
Because I take it. I react to everything. That 2014 game when they ran
brutal.
Absolutely bananas on you guys in the first half. I remember, I think, you saying some of it, not excuse making, but some of it was turf related.
Oh, totally. I might have said something like that.
I don't think you said it at the time. I think you've said it to me.
Oh, yeah.
It was
the grass. But, you know, now they're calling for heavy snow on Saturday. The game is
Sunday night.
So will the snow, you know, will it play a factor?
Who's better? I mean, it's in their better interests, is it not?
I would think.
A nice track.
But the Patriots are known as mutters. They're known as mutters.
Known mutters.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you're fast, you know, it plays into you. But it kind of like
balance.
It neutralizes. I mean, it makes it a neutral playing ground as well. So you can't cut. Having a guy just run straight ahead is not the scary part. It's the guy who's running fast and also shaking at the same time. That's the scary part.
I wanted to ask you about Andy Reid and Bob Sutton. What were some of the attributes of Andy Reid's offenses, when you dealt with them? I mean,
Get through the script, right? You know he's going to, and when I say the script, so they script out 15 to 20 plays for different situations, right? So they'll come out, so first and 10, they'll have a play, then second and 7, third and 3, first and 10, second and 4, third and 1. And they have all this stuff scripted out. And what they're doing is they're trying to see how you're matching not only formations but also personnel. So you'll see a lot of personnel shifts. You'll see a lot of different groupings come up, whether it's 12, 11. Well, yeah, it'll be 11. They don't usually run 12. But even though when you think about that, they're 12. You know when I say 12, yeah, one back, two tight. Their 12 plays like 11 because Kelsey split out. So that's the thing, that's the funny thing about it when you really think about, you know, when you're watching the game, for all you listeners out there, when you're watching the game, like even though there are two tight ends out there, there's really just one tight end. So don't expect, they're not running to Kelsey's side. That's the awareness you have to have when they come out in these formation groups. But going back to the script, so they'll come out in all these different formations, all that stuff, just to see how you're playing it, right? How do you knock them out of the script? You can knock them out with a tackle for a loss. Because all of a sudden it's 1st and 10, 2nd and 7, 3rd and 3, 1st and 10, 2nd and 13. Mm-hmm. Now you have what's called get back on track. And get back on track means I don't want to pick up the first down on 2nd and 13. I want to get it to 3rd and manageable, 3rd and 6. That's getting back on track.
Why do teams run draw so often on 2nd and
draw 10, screen, 11, 12, draw 13? Screen. And
but everybody knows the friggin' draw is coming. Yeah, it never works.
No, it does work. What do you mean? Because you know why? They're teeing off thinking that they're going to sit there and drop back. That's why the draws and screens work in 90s. Draw screens in 90s on 2nd and long. Get back on track. 90s quick pass, 3-step.
Okay.
Because they're trying to get back on track.
What else did I have? Playing in Kansas City.
Yep. Those fans, though. You talk, you know, there are certain stadiums where it's like the fans are rowdy. Gillette, I mean, I know the Patriots won a lot of games in Gillette. But in the grand scheme of things, Gillette's not really rocking like some of these other stadiums. You're not seeing fire, you know, before they get fire come out of the ground.
No.
And you're not, you know, the crowd's loud. Meh. You know, it's like meh.
It could get going.
They get
riled up here.
For sure. Depending on the day.
For a big game. They were loud on Sunday.
Kansas City, though, I don't know if it's because the stadium is a little more vertical and the sound just reverberates like all over the place. But it gets rocking in there. So it's a tough place to play. And if they get some momentum is a real thing. It's a real thing.
Have to get going early. I mean, that's why.
And
how limiting is it then for Tom Brady to communicate at the line? Because we saw Phillip Rivers took 2 delay a game penalties, right. Almost took 2 more. They had to burn timeouts because he's dicking around trying to communicate with people before the snap.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Tom and those guys, everything can be communicated through hand signals. And they rep that stuff. They have good communication.
Did you see Pouncey not snapping the ball?
Yeah,
I mean, Rivers was being a friggin' baby anyway.
I know.
But the not snapping the ball, I would have flipped out too. Yeah. I mean, what else?
I don't think communication would be a hard time. I mean, a big problem.
When you guys lost in Denver in 2013 and 2015, to me, the reason that those games were lost had to do, again, with health. 2013, no Gronk. Was it? Yeah, no Gronk. 2015.
Yep. I didn't play in that game.
Had a couple of bad mistakes by Jamie early on.
Yeah.
Should have beaten that team. But again, Julian had come off a broken foot.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson was the running back. God bless him. But
not in 15.
15 he was.
Was he the running back in 15? Wow, I'm old.
And Keyshawn Martin.
Keyshawn Martin.
2013 was Matt Mulligan.
The tight end.
Matt Slater was going out for shit. Running penalty.
Zero career catches. But he's a 6-time Pro Bowler.
But we're not going to see that this week. We're going to see a healthier team. Plus, you can't, while we look at Denver and Kansas City and say, oh, those places are loud, they're tough to play in, there was no running game to speak of in 2013. Mankins had a horrendous game in 2013, I remember.
Yeah.
It's probably part of the reason he ended up in Tampa Bay before the next year began. But the offensive line's healthy. There's a running game. There's not a running game that's just a compliment.
Right.
It's one that's been bought into.
And Kansas City's relatively healthy, too. I don't want to.
Yeah. But you can still run over their faces.
Oh, you can run over there. But, I mean, you can't tell that by the last game.
Yeah, you
are. And, you know, and the thing, you know, we use a lot of the
last thing we saw, I know.
You know, all season. No, but I'm saying that's the whole recency effect, right? The recency effect.
Yeah,
is
I don't
like,
know which one buy into. Buy into the Patriots run defense that we saw Sunday or the one that we had seen so many other times?
I'm not buying anything. I'm like, listen, it's one of these things where every game, and that's the good thing about the NFL playoffs. It's like, it's one game. It's not a best of 5.
And it's that matchup.
Best of 7. It's one game. So if you don't bring your hard hat, you could have the number one defense in the world. Like, you could have the greatest defense of all, 85 Bears. Yeah, 85 Bears. But if you just, you know, guys just don't feel like playing that day, or they're just not playing well, something's not clicking, they can look like the freaking 2008, what was a bad Patriots defense?
Bad Patriots defense a couple of years ago wasn't that hot.
Well, last year wasn't that good.
Yeah, wasn't that good.
But you get my point.
I do. I get your point. And it's also matchups.
Most of the time in best out of seven scenarios, I'm a huge believer in the law of large numbers. I shouldn't say, not even the law of large numbers. It's more like the better team is going to come out on top the more they play. Like if it's like the best out of 10 games in baseball.
I completely. How like many times would the Patriots, the 07 Patriots, have beaten the Giants?
Right, exactly.
It never would have happened.
Exactly. You know, until if it was game best 22. Of seven, if it was best of seven against that Giants, I mean, it would have been 4-1.
And that's what's also fascinating about, like, if you look at the Bills and the Giants back in 1990. Well, the reason the Bills and Bill Parcells wanted to reduce the game and control the ball was their friggin' offense was so good. Mm-hmm. So you compress the game.
Totally.
We're not playing a 60-minute game if you're the Buffalo Bills offense. We're playing a
40-minute.
Yeah. For sure. And that's what could happen here with this matchup this week. One other question I want to ask about Philip Rivers. I asked him in the post game about his comportment and poise.
Mm.
Try to be fair about it because, like, if I'm going to write about it, I want to ask the guy.
He's been a crybaby, though. Everyone.
But I think it took – but I thought that it took his team with him. Now, maybe the horse was out of the barn and wasn't going to make any difference. But when you start being a baby that quick,
yeah.
Does it have a trickle-down effect?
Totally, especially when, the quarterback position is so vital, right? It's like you touch the ball every play. You're the distributor. You're the point guard. And, most of the time those guys are captains, just like a linebacker's a captain. Those guys are communicating. But that stuff trickles down. Like, I would say even before that, and I don't know Anthony Lynn. But if the coaches seem tight, I remember playing and coaches sometimes would seem tight. And now we're out there tight, even before. So then you go out there and play tight. It just all rolls down.
And they came off the bus complaining.
Complaining.
Did you see that story?
I did, yeah. And it was their owners. It's the owner's fault.
I mean, that to me is astounding. Last question before we wrap this up. Thanks for hanging with us. We're having a good time. Quick Slants, the podcast brought to you by Nissan. How much of an advantage is experience over the Kansas City Chiefs, who have not peed a drop when it comes to they're playing for the Lamar Hunt Trophy for the first time since, I think, unless I'm wrong, not checking my notes, I think since 92 when Joe Montana was their quarterback.
I would say awareness over experience, if that makes sense. Awareness of...
Can you slow your brain down?
Can you slow your brain down? And there are no rookies now. I remember Bill used to say that all the time. There are no rookies at this point. Like, everyone has played enough football at this point where the better team's going to win. Well, the better team on that day, I should say, going back to our point earlier.
Do you expect a great game?
I expect an unbelievable game. It's either going to be a shootout. You know what? I'll say this. I mean, people are going to score points.
Will it be played in the 20s, the 30s, or the 40s?
Man, that's so tough. It'll be played in the 30s. Depending on the weather, though. I think weather could be the ultimate.
41-36. I don't know how you get to 36, but it's 41-36. I don't know who's winning yet.
Yeah, last week you said it was going to be in the teens. You owe me a steak. You owe me a steak dinner.
Whoa. Too bad you quit.
No, someone at work reminded me. He's like, hey, Kern owes you a dinner. I was like, hey, man, I'm at work, bro. Don't.
Completely forgot about that. All right, so no prediction from you, no prediction from me. Maybe I'll circle up later in the week when Gerard's not around and I can talk about him and talk to you guys personally.
Peace.
Quickly, it's called CODPAST.
The CODPAST.
Podcast. Love brought
COD.
To you by
Love COD.
Nissan. We'll see you soon. Thanks.